Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
That's right, people. We are back for season 4, episode 14, recording this on April the 4th. A lot of fours in there. We are 2 days away from King Kong Volume 5. I feel like every week now, this guy keeps on setting up and has different places where he's doing his recordings. It's been pretty fun. But we have my new Eastern time zone buddy, Milton the Manimal. How are you, sir? How was the travels?
Dude, it was long. So I don't know if I kind of mentioned this with everyone else, but it was obviously from El Paso, Texas to Virginia, and only really required to go 300 miles a day. So we took our time. We got a 10-month-old and like an older dog. And so 300 miles a day, it's 5 or 6 days of travel, bro. It was rough. But it was a good thing we did it the way we did, because like my son was starting to freak out like at certain times. Like, he just hit that age where he wants to be out and moving because he's crawling all the time now. And like, you can't keep him pinned up. So dude, even trying to make like 4 or 5 hours travel a day was tough, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it took like a 4 to 5 hour travel day turned into like an 8 hour travel day.
Oof.
So, but we made it. We're here in Virginia. We're in the new house, and there's not a lick of furniture. I know no one can see anything, but I'm standing in the kitchen because we don't have one piece of furniture. Everything gets here tomorrow, like all of our stuff, and then all shows up tomorrow, and then we're buying furniture. But so I'm standing in the kitchen on my laptop.
Nice. That's good. So it's going to be funny now, like when I introduce you to people that don't know you, or like, do I say, oh, my buddy from El Paso, or do I say my buddy from Virginia now?
Oh, it's tricky. I don't know if I'm from Virginia yet, man. I don't know.
I was thinking about this, like if we went out somewhere local, because obviously you're coming up from New Jersey. I know you're not gonna come here to my place. We're literally just gonna go straight to the hotel Friday night, and then you know we're doing the show, and then you're out. But like if you come back to it, be like, hey, this is my buddy Zach from El Paso. Hey, this is my buddy Zach from Virginia.
DC. Now. I mean, DC now.
We'll give you DC. It's a little bit better. So, but let's kick it off with our episode. We have a lot to talk about. There's a lot to unwind. Obviously, we're going to be talking about some new Star Wars show that's going to be dropping in about a month. We're going to talk about some Image comic book that's dropping, as well as some Silver Surfer news. So let's start off with the reads, man. I know you got a chance to actually go and check out new comic shops this week, trying to find a new LCS to, you know, hold down a pull list and, you know, go from there. So, you know, again, how are the shops out there? You know, I know you chatted with me very quickly, but let's kind of talk like how close were the shops compared to what you're used to out in Texas?
You know, so they weren't very far. And actually, I don't even know the name, but hold on, let me pull it up. They weren't very far by any means. Like, I mean, honestly, my shop in El Paso, it wasn't very close to where I lived, but it wasn't very far. It's probably 10, 15, 20 minutes max drive to that shop. So I went to 3 different places. I went to three. The first place I went to was called Gateway Comics and Toys. It was really cool. A huge spot. Tons of toys, tons of comics. Toys, like all kinds of toys. Like action figures, Pokemon cards, you know, everything. Omnibuses, trades. And it was a big shop. Big shop. And it was really cool. I got majority of the things I needed. There was a couple of the books that week that I missed and I didn't get a chance to look at, or I didn't get to pick up, but I did read them online. And then I went to another place called Sage Mantis Game Haven and Collectibles. Mm. And it mentioned comic book shops, but there was no comics there. But it was still a cool shop. The guy I talked to who worked there was really nice, really cool. A lot of games, man. I mean, I think you really like it. Tons of consoles. They do a lot of card game stuff. They have their tables set up too for, like, you know, whenever people come and weekly play. And it was a cool shop for that kind of stuff. And then the other place I was going to go check out, Watts Comics. I drove by it today and I don't know. I didn't see a sign. I might need it. Now I'm looking at the picture. It's like downtown. Oh, I might have drove by it. It might be mixed with a coffee shop and I didn't know that. So I might have to try that again. So I'll have to try that place. So at the moment, the gateway place is definitely like the pick so far, but I'm taking my time. I want to see whether I'm going to make my pull list like in DC, in Fredericksburg where I'm living, or, you know, somewhere in between or nearby. I'm going to explore some shops these upcoming like weeks to kind of decide before I set down roots in a pull box, you know,
and tell them who you are. I'm an animal.
See if I can't get my books a day early.
Yeah, I'm an influencer. I'm allowed to get my books early. I talk about them on the podcast weekly.
Right.
That's cool. I'm glad everything's kind of working out. Obviously, you know, still no furniture, but you'll get that. And then you'll just move in. You'll just move in with all that stuff. So let's go right now into the book. So what did you pick up this week that you were able to read? What did you like? What did you hate?
Oh, man. There was some good stuff this week. X-Men 33 was awesome. Fall of X stuff is really shaping up pretty good. I'm liking the way they're going with it. This issue was a lot of fun. Some people getting murked, dude, in this issue. I really enjoyed it. And then you also see kind of the mutants that Dr. Doom has out in Latveria. He calls it Doom's X-Men. Mm-hmm. They make an appearance again, and they were pretty cool, saving the day. What other books did I like this week? I'll be honest, dude. I've talked a lot of shit on Lando Calrissian over the past couple of years. But I enjoyed last issue, and I enjoyed this issue even more. This like trial of Lando that's kind of going on.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I don't think it's great, but I enjoyed it.
It's really tough. Let me speak on it too. Like, it's part of me is like, you know that nothing can happen, right?
Right.
So we have the whole.
It's like climactic.
Yeah, like the whole issue is that Mon Mothma got captured, and obviously, yeah, the trial of Lando. So you're just like, well, Lando can't die because we're still not even at Return of the Jedi. Yeah. And we see Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi and post. So like, let's be real, folks. Like, where is this going to go? Like, yeah, like you said, it's very anticlimactic. It's like, hey, let's try to do something interesting in the Star Wars universe and not use characters that are going to show up in a movie. Like, let's go somewhere. That's why I felt like still the best read is Vader Volume 2, because it's that in-between time of post Return of the Revenge of the Sith and before Episode 4, but a lot of stuff is introduced. Like, there's obviously Jedi, there's the Inquisitors, there's just so much that's building in that time frame that I wish they would go back and do another series in that time frame.
I it's funny too, because I have an issue, right? It's I can't remember the other like general's name for the rebellion, but you got Akbar and the other dude, and you're like, yo, you two are acting like real hard, and we know you two die. Like, relax, bro. Lando's gonna live this one out. It's good. It wasn't too bad, man. And I also like it when they introduce, or not introduce, but they bring in like Cass Dameron as well, and you kind of see like his crew. So that was cool. Pick of the week, I guess, man. It's gonna be a trifecta, and I think I kind of mentioned these last week. You and I had access to these a little early, but you know, and you're seeing it all over the Instagram. But Geiger number one, Rook Exodus number one, and Redco number one were all fabulous. Out of the three, Redco kind of took it for me. And I think I talked about this last week, but I really enjoyed all three of them. I know Geiger has been out before, but now it's kind of part of this new universe and everything. Really cool stuff. I definitely suggest if anyone hasn't picked these books up over from Image Comics and that, and like what they're trying to do over there, definitely check this stuff out. Super, super cool stuff. I think that's it for me.
Yeah. I'll speak on Rook. Obviously I was going to put Rook in there. Probably it was going to be my top pick as well.
Right.
But yeah, obviously you got the preview from that Ghost Machine number one. they gave you a little bit of the different characters that were on. So Exodus is the name of the planet that they're on. Rook is the main character who you've seen on the main cover. Mm-hmm. Character who is can control the crows. There's Swine, who's the guy who controls like the pigs. And you get obviously a lot more of the origin of them, right? Like they were on Earth. Earth was basically being decimated. They went to this place called Exodus to have a whole new home. Like everything was going to be taken care of. And they got these implants. The idea was the implants were going to be able to help do work with animals.
Let me get my lasagna out real quick.
Oh boy. And it continued with that. All right. So story about the lasagna, obviously nobody can see, but again, this guy's recording in the kitchen. And I said, dude, you should not even have told me about the lasagna that you got to take out. You should have just stepped away and pulled out a giant pan of lasagna. So while he's grabbing that.
I also don't even have oven mitts, so I'm using a washcloth.
You're going to burn your hand. So
it's already done, dude. It's out.
Oh, it's done? Oh, nice. So back to Rook. So yeah, this is an amazing story. Like the whole idea now that Exodus is kind of like a burned down planet. The neural links are not really working too well with the animals and the helmet, because that's what they're in helmets. So I love it because first, you know, Jason's art is amazing. You have this cool, obviously it's kind of like me, I like the Predator, so like I love their helmets, and each helmet is different, right. And we're only seeing, so far we've only seen two. I don't want to spoil the third one, but it's really awesome. I really enjoying, you know, like what they do and how the guy used to be a farmer, now he's a scavenger. It's pretty cool stuff.
I'm looking forward to them kind of delving more into like their training, because these people had all like Swine and Rook had like signed up for this program. They received training for this. So I'm really interested in them going into that a little bit more in the history there. It's very, as I'm going to say this, so it's a movie, like one of these movies that always shows that not always comes on, but when it comes on, like I always watch it and I love it. And I'm not saying, I don't want anyone out there to think I'm saying this is the greatest movie of all time or anything like that. But The Passengers with Chris Pratt and
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, yeah. It's like that. It's kind of that aspect, right? Where they're all going to this planet because Earth's been treated like shit. And so they're supposed to go like start anew on a planet. So it's got very like Passenger vibes and like in that realm. And even like the aspect of like you said, Rook was a farmer and he signed up for this program. And that's pretty much kind of what got him over there to become, he became a warden and what gets him over to this planet. And it's kind of like that idea of like, hey, certain skills are going to get you over there. So I really like the idea. I'm excited for this series, man. I'm really excited for this series.
Yeah. I cannot wait. Somehow, I think we're going to have to get Jason on here to chat about it. I'd love to talk about his idea and designs and stuff like that. You know, we'll have to reach out to him. But some of my books this week, I don't know. Did you read that new Deadpool #1 or did you check it out?
No. But is that the one written by Joe Kelly or is that
the Deadpool? No, that's the one written by Cody Ziegler.
Okay.
Who's also writing the Spider-Punk.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. And I'll tell you, this is an absolutely terrible book. So I don't want to get into it. It's kind of my hot garbage. I can't even deal with like the Deadpool anymore, to be honest.
Again, dude, I don't read Deadpool, period. Like, honestly, I was somewhat interested in reading the one coming out, the Deadpool Wolverine written by Joe Kelly, because it's Joe Kelly.
Yep.
But honestly, I don't really like Deadpool.
Yeah. He can't be on. I just feel like his solo series haven't been good in such a long time.
Yeah.
He needs to either be mini-seriesed up or teamed up with somebody, because then he can play off of somebody else. Because in this, he's playing off of, the whole idea is he had the symbiote in him and the symbiote came out of his heart. And now the heart turned into a dog. So it's like a symbiote dog. And like they talk to each other.
Dude, it's just, no, dude.
It's just such a, it's like, again, like we always say, like everything has to do with symbiotes. Like Black Widow has a symbiote. He's got some symbiote animal. Like there's no reason to have this. So didn't really like it. Next up, Venom 32. I don't know if you got a chance to check it out. Venom.
I read that. Yeah.
You can tell the difference in the writing, right?
Oh yeah.
It's not torn. It went back to Al Ewing.
Which is weird to say, because Al Ewing's a great writer.
Yeah, I know, but you could just tell, like, those first two parts were amazing, and then you're like, it's okay now. Like, they
felt like a filler issue.
Yeah, but it is part of this Venom and Carnage thing that's going on, so it's there. But yeah, I wasn't too happy with it. But again, continuing this little story arc, we're gonna see what happens with the whole leading up, like what Carnage is gonna do in his series and also in the Venom series, and then what's gonna happen. Obviously, we know over the summer with both the Venom Reborn and then also the Venom War. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. Batman 146, I thought was a pretty good issue.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
The whole idea, obviously, now that you have the Batman failsafe, the Zara Earth, and you know, you have the Bat family coming in, and now they're even reaching out to the Justice League, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
To figure out what's going on, like who could stop him, and Superman comes, and you know what? The one problem that I have with this book, though, is that where does this take place in compared to like Batman and Robin, right? Because like,
yes, it is a little miss. Yeah, it is very, it's tricky. I was thinking that as well. And I kind of just was like, okay, I'm going to not overthink that aspect. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Cause the relationship is completely different. It's a good relationship in that issue, in that series. I mean,
yeah. So it's like Robin Damian has the relationship in Batman and Robin, but also has this relationship with Zara Earth Batman, where I think he could be playing him, but obviously, we're going to have to see what happens. But there's a lot of stuff that happens in this issue, and we're still going with the failsafe, with Chip, with Joker. So
yeah,
it definitely picked up past this, you know, whatever, the Joker year one that they did. So like that one. You know what was actually really good? And I thought about it after I read these last two issues because I had to catch up. Thunderbolts 3 and 4.
Okay, yeah, I'm not reading Thunderbolts.
Okay, so Thunderbolts 3 introduced the team going to fight, like, some American kaiju monster and introduce Shang-Chi. And then in this issue, he's actually part of the team. Now that'd be something cool that they could do in the MCU is bring on Shang-Chi because, you know, he's nowhere. Who the hell knows where he is right now in the actual Marvel Cinematic right. Universe. But so now he's part of the team along with, you know, Red Guardian, Black Widow's in there, Yelena, Fontaine's in there, Kessa. So there's a lot of people that actually I could see, and thinking about it, I'm like, man, I'm reading this issue, and I'm like, yo, I could actually see Shang-Chi being part of the Thunderbolts team in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But to get back actually why I liked it, obviously you have all these characters building up, and we've been talking about this since the first issue, building up to fight Red Skull. And he is amazing. Like the art that he has, like what he's been doing, he's almost created like these animatronic robots that look like, you know, in Invincible season one, where the guy who voiced by Ezra Miller, he creates those like weird, like one-eyed robots that are like half human, half cyborg. Mm-hmm. There's literally creatures that look exactly pulling right from that. So, you know, they fight the Thunderbolts, but the Thunderbolts kind of laid out a plan to have a certain villain come in to take over and basically destroy Red Skull, but I won't ruin it who, but you have to go ahead and read it. But I actually liked it, and it's weird because they haven't solicited as an issue 5, and I don't know if it's only like a 4-issue mini, so it's really weird because I didn't see anything solicited past that, but it didn't really say the end. So
you know what, actually I have one more book that I forgot that I really liked. So and it's kind of old, it didn't come out this week, but I just got my DCBS order. It was Local Man, but it's a one shot. So Local Man obviously has the ongoing, which I think it's 9 issues, maybe 10. And then they've had a couple one shots, a Local Man Gold, and this one was called Bad Girls One Shot. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. And it really continues the story. Like some one shots, you know, are like just like right in the middle of the story. This is like a backstory, but it takes place currently, like after what the last Local Man issue was. So we see, It's very much focused on like the females in the story, and you kind of see like some of their history, and you see like Neon, the character Neon, you get a lot of her history and why she is the way she is. And it's funny, her interaction with the main like bad guy, like Local Man's ex-girlfriend, who's kind of like the bad guy in the show or in the series. And it just was the writing is just awesome, dude. Like I really think if you're not reading Local Man, people really need to give this book a shot. it is a lot of fun. It has Invincible vibes in terms of like the teams, or I'm sorry, not Invincible vibes, more like the Boys, kind of like more like the Boys vibes of like with different teams of superheroes and like the shit they get into. It's not as like aggressive as the Boys and like dirty as the Boys is, you know, but yeah. They hint at like, you know, sexual relations and like inappropriate behavior and do more than hinting. They talk about it, but it's such a great series, man. I really, really enjoy Local Man. So I know I've talked about it before on here, and definitely if you aren't reading it, you guys need to be checking this book out.
Nice. Yeah. We're going to talk about an Image book coming out as well. So since you kind of picked, you know, Exodus Rook, that whole Ghost Machine stuff, for my pick of the week, and this is kind of like a leftover from, I don't know if it was like last week or the week before, but I'm telling you, you really got to be reading the Predator series. These miniseries that Marvel has been putting out has been so stellar because of the fact that it's been a continuation. It's easy. It's a 5-issue miniseries, goes into a volume 2, goes into a volume 3. It's the same main character. You're getting like a progression of her. And in the latest issue, she, Theta, is basically hunting and looking for what's known as these Predator farms. So the Predators obviously capture people from all over the town, all over the years, and keep them frozen to be able to train, put them in their own like little, what are they called? Like what's a, like a, in
like an arena, farm.
Not in like an arena, but you know, like a grazing. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You like, know what I'm talking
about. Safari hunt type thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, nice shot of your balls there.
I know you didn't get them.
Yeah, no. But yeah, so what's happening is now it's like the year 2055. Like we're way past the what's happening in obviously our time, but it's always been a continuation. And I talked about this on Brian McClay's channel last week or 2 weeks ago, how everything that has been in the movies, like the Arnold movie, Danny Glover one, like everything, like they're all, you know, canon, I would say.
Yeah.
In the latest issue, you actually meet somebody who, not somebody, but somebody who's related to somebody of the older movies, which is pretty cool. So that person was like searching for somebody and somehow got captured and now is part of this like future Predator series, but somebody that was part of like basically the canon universe of Predator. So yeah. It's been going pretty well. And cool. I'm really enjoying these series, and I like how they're quick and fast, right? They're 5 issues, get in and out, and then a couple months later, you get yourself another Predator issue, Predator series. So nice. If you're not reading any of the Predator stuff, I think they're really cool. Just pick up the trades, pick up the back issues. I'm sure you can find them. So definitely that's my other pick of the week, other than the Rook Exodus.
Cool.
All right. So out of the comics and into, let's do some articles. So like we kind of teased out, let's do some Image. A new Image book is coming out. This is actually over from image.com, imagecomics.com. This is literally just posted about a week or two ago. Again, we have the comedian Brian Posehn teams up with Fallout Boys, Joe Tymon, and TMNT's Chris Johnson for a time-traveling comedy series, Rifters, this June. So the name of the titles is called Rifters. This was posted over on 320. So you got fan favorite comedian Brian Posehn from, of course, Deadpool and Mandalorian fame. Not Deadpool and Mandalorian like being in it, but actually writing it. Teaming up with Fallout Boy, Fallout Boy's Joe Tymon, and to co-write alongside artist Chris Johnson in the upcoming time-traveling comedy romp Rifters. This all-new ongoing series is set to launch in June from Image Comics. Readers will be hurled into the wild world of Rifters, where Time Cop collides with a Law and Order filtered through the lens of Mr. Show when they meet Fenn and Geller. These two part-time Weisenheimers, full-time vice, this is so funny, vice time cops suck at rule following but excel at busting time-traveling crimes. Unfortunately, their daily grind involves tedious police work like chasing down douchebag influencers hell-bent on live streaming illegal trans temporal rifts to 1920s Chicago to steal promo bootleg hooch. I loved how they threw in like the influencers thing.
Yeah,
that was so good. So this series coming out in, like I said, in June, written by, you know, you get a little bit of the comedian side, you get a little bit of like the music side, going to be a comedy. You know, what are your thoughts? Kind of, obviously you read the article on this one.
Yeah. Initially, I wasn't interested because I don't know. comedy in comics is not really my thing, but it sounds pretty funny. Like, I definitely will check it out. And I like how they're playing at, you know, the playoff of like Law and Order and Dick Wolf. Like, you know, if anyone knows Dick Wolf, like Dick Wolf is a big producer for procedural shows, right? Like, all, I think he'd produce all the Chicago Police, Chicago Fire, all that stuff. Yeah. So I definitely will check it out. I think so. I think it'll be kind of funny. I love the way they wrote this one. Hell-bent on live streaming illegal transtemporal trips to steal primo bootleg hooch, you know? So, yeah, dude, I'll probably check this out.
Yeah. So it's got, in basically, in a twist of fate, the duo finds themselves at the center of an inter-time serial homicide mystery and in the crosshairs of potentially lethal consequences. I feel like this is a type of series. And if once you look at the art, I feel like almost it's like 8 Billion Genies style, right? Like, because 8 Billion Genies kind of had a little fun kick to it, a little comedy, you know, comedy to it. I do like that, you know, the quote in here says, Rifters want you to pull you out of real world for a while and have an adventure and a laugh. And I feel like that's what sometimes you need in comics.
Hell yeah.
Like, you know, this could be something that's a little fun, edgy. You know, what do they got? Like, yeah, like you said, those shows, you got like the CSI shows. Mm-hmm. Why not like throw a little, you know, time traveling stuff in, especially for our times where everything is like trying to be, you know, live streaming, you know, hey, I want to go back to like the 1950s and live stream like the war and, you know, or try to grab something out of the, you know, World War One or whatever. So I think this is going to be a cool little series. Check it out. You could pre-order it starting next month. It comes out in June, June 12th. Tons of, you know, ABC covers. You got a 1 in 10, 1 in 25. So be on the lookout for Rifters coming out in June from Image Comics. Image Comics, put it on your pull list. So out of the comic book stuff into the TV and movie stuff, let's start with the bad and end with the great, in my opinion. So found this article over at yahoo.com. So we all know what's going on. Julia Gardner is, quote, I'm going to put this quote unquote rumored to play Silver Surfer. So over at yahoo.com in the entertainment section, the name of the article says, please be normal about Julia Gardner playing Silver Surfer. Sometimes things happen to people when they read casting news from within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, perhaps because the internet is built on the foundation of Glenn Denzing would be a great Wolverine, quote, end quote. Some simply can't handle any time a slight swerve in casting. We can take this back to Michael Keaton playing Batman, but it intensifies whenever a metallic-skinned summer sports enthusiast is casting against type. We anticipate another round of that. Per Deadline, Julia Gardner will play the Shala Baal Silver Surfer in the upcoming Fantastic Four movie, and we're hoping that people can be adults about it. So, Zach?
So, yeah, I mean, okay. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, right? Like, obviously, so here's the thing that kind of is pissing me off is I hate both sides of the internet right now. Like, I hate the people who are like, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, they're casting a female, blah, blah, blah. This is bullshit, whatever. Okay. You're not wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong here, but I also hate then now that there's the opposite side, like this guy who wrote this article, who's all snarky and a complete idiot too. Who's been like, oh, can we be normal about this? Can we be normal about this? Like, shut up, dude. Like, now you got the other side of people who are out here like, hey, guys, why are you so mad that they're doing this and blah, blah, blah. These aren't the questions we should be asking. The question isn't why did they cast a female or the question isn't, or, I'm sorry. The issue isn't they cast a female or they didn't cast a female or I'm hearing all the defense. Man, sorry, I'm getting a little ahead of myself because there's all these people on the internet as well that we talk about who like to play the middle road, like all these people who don't want to say positive or don't want to say anything negative out there. And they're like, well, you know, it is an alternate universe. And like everyone should know it's an alternate universe. Could be cool. Could be cool. These are all moot points. The fact of the matter is, why are they doing this? And that's the question we should be asking and on multiple levels. Because one, the Fantastic Four is not a legit property that you can be like taking chances with. The first two movies that came out were well received, I guess, you know, but they stopped after the second movie. The new one that came out, a lot of people believe is complete and utter garbage. The Fantastic Four have a hard time. They struggle keeping any titles going. And now you're bringing them in to the MCU, which is already not in its highest phase. I don't care. I'm not being negative. I'm not saying you may like all the stuff that's come since Endgame. And you could, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but you are wrong if you think it's as high caliber as the stuff pre, like the Infinity War saga stuff. Mm-hmm. MCU is not on the caliber as it has been. And so to come out with a title which people are looking forward to and has a history of not being super profitable or doable or even successful and like people, you know, appreciating what's been done, and then to throw a curveball, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you're casting Silver Surfer, which is arguably next to the Fantastic Four, the most important character in Fantastic Four lore, correct? Next to Dr. Doom as well. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So Doom and then Surfer. Everyone wants Surfer. And then you throw this curveball of like, and we're going to do the Shala Ball version. But like, why? And everyone's, and the other thing people are saying too that's annoying as well is like, well, you know, it's, it might lead into Norrin Rat. It's going to lead into Norrin Rat. We don't need to lead into Norrin Rat. No one needs that. Everyone wants Norrin Rat. No one wants to wait like a movie and get Norrin Rat in a post-credit scene. Mm-hmm. Especially, here's the problem. If this movie sucks, if it sucks, which first off, people are going to be pissed. Like, people are already pissed. You can see it all over the internet, which isn't lending well to when the movie comes out. People are already going to go in with a bad attitude. And if it is anything less than stellar, the sales will be low. There may not be another sequel. And then whatever you tried to pull off in the post-credit scene with Norrin Rat is going to fail because you won't see it.
Yep.
So my thing about this whole situation, like I said, is why are they doing this? And I can't come up with a justifiable reason. The only thing that makes sense, and I'm not trying to be that person, I'm not trying to like follow the internet trolls, but the only thing that makes sense, and based on track record, I think this is a logical conclusion, is that this is some aspect of, like, you know, wokeism. Like, you are adding another female. Well, I don't understand why you would do this. It makes no sense. And final statement on it, to those people who also like to say, well, Shala Ball's in the comics. She was the Silver Surfer in an alternate reality. She was Norrin Rat's lover and everything. Yes. These are not classic stories. These are not stories anyone knows. These are not stories that the fact that you have to explain that to people is proof that there should be no reason why she's the first casting and character for a iconic individual like Silver Surfer. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Now, positives. I hope it does well. I'm not going to be one of those people who goes into it with like the, you know, all negative. I think this is a bad choice. I don't think it's going to play out well for them. And I hope they prove me wrong. I hope it's good because I do want to see Norrin Rat. I do want to see Fantastic Four succeed. But I don't know, man. I don't know why. Can anyone tell me why?
Yeah, so I have very limited knowledge.
Rant.
Yeah. No. That's perfect because, see, like, I'm on the flip side. Like, well, not the flip side as, you know, I agree with you on a lot of that points. I don't understand a lot in the, I don't know, the big lore of, you know, Silver Surfer, Galactic, Fantastic Four. I know it mainly from like cartoons and like, yeah, the movies, right, and a little bit. So all those people are like, well, have you read the comics? Yeah, but also a lot of people haven't read the comics. So like, why? Yeah, you're right. Why would you go into that deep history of Silver Surfer's love interest and all that stuff and immediately picking apart this character? It's like, hey, let's maybe announce like an actor that's going to play Silver Surfer and people will be like excited about it instead of going with like the B squad. Right?
Right.
And again, yeah, like the multiverse, like, oh my God, I get it. We're in this multiverse saga, but like, let's not do this. Like, let's like, that's, I said in our in a group chat I'm with, it's like, hey, they've already had issues with building Silver Surfer in the old Fox movies, right? You want to bring out, like, you want to go, listen, if you want to go all, you know, balls to the wall and bring out Silver Surfer and do something right, maybe announce that it's going to be a Silver Surfer. It's going to be the male. Like, go with that. Like, it is, like you said, it is wokeism. Like I said in our group chat, if they want to bring out, they want to reboot Ghost Rider, and they rebooted Ghost Rider with a female Ghost Rider and went with Alejandro Drones as their first pick, like, people are going to lose their mind because people, again, most non-comic readers don't know who the hell Ghost Rider is. But if you're just kind of a casual fan, you know who Ghost Rider is. You don't know who the female versions or the many incarnations of the Ghost Rider that they've had. Like, MCU needs to really get back on track and figure out what they're doing. And yeah, I love Julia Garner. I think she's nice to look at, but this is not the casting. This is not how you announce something like this. I think maybe if you announce other people before her, then it's a little bit better. Then you're like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, she's going to be in the movie as this, but we've already had these announcements of other people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Two things I want to comment on what you said, because I'm in complete agreement. When people are like, well, you need to read the comics. Like, first off, my rebuttal to that is, okay, probably less than 1/10 of all Silver Surfer lore consists of Shia LaBeouf. So if you want to say read the comics, I'm going to say you should read the comics. It's all Norm Rad. I don't know what to tell you. So, you know, and I have no problem with them casting. Like, if they want to cast Shia LaBeouf, awesome, dude. And as Julia Garner, great. Like, no one's saying you can't have Shia LaBeouf in this movie. I think that's great. But when they come out and say she's the Silver Surfer, though, that's the issue. And and then also just the obnoxiousness of this article, too. Like, the title to this article, please be normal about Julia Garner playing Silver Surfer. There's nothing normal about that. Like, there's nothing normal about that. What's normal is, it is normal for fans to be moderately outraged about this. I mean, here's the thing. I know everyone wants to play the creative game. Like, hey, well, we want to do our own take on it. You literally are taking a property that exists, okay? And existed for a very long time. And you have fans. These are the people you're hoping come to your movie. So you need to cater to them. I'm sick and tired of giving these creatives this carte blanche. Like, they have the right to do what they will with the property. No, you don't. Create your own property. Do what you want. You are catering and you are counting on us as the people who do follow this. These are the people you are catering to. And these are why your movies fail. Because you come out and you try to do something different and we don't like it. And then constantly you then label everyone as trolls or bigots or, you know, crazy people on the internet. Stop doing it. You've been shown over and over again, stop messing with stuff. Just do it or don't. And some other director or writer will. We don't need you. That's kind of my take on these things, man.
Yeah, this is this wasn't something that I just thought about as you said something in that rant again.
Yes.
But it's right. I think a lot of these people that are writing and doing these movies have not read comics and don't get into comics. Like, how come there's so many people out there in the comic book universe that can't, like, pick someone that has read a book, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is something that I want. I think every person that listens to our podcast should take an hour. I think it's an hour, hour and a half out of your time. And if you have not listened or watched it, go and watch. It was probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Joe Rogan with Zack Snyder. Let me tell you, for somebody who, you know, people don't like, he is the biggest comic book nerd. Like, he is so well-adversed into comic books. And when he talks about The Watchmen, when he talks about 300, when he talked about Batman, Superman, yo, this guy is just like you or me, anybody out there listening. Like, he knew his shit going into those movies and wanting to make those movies. Like, when he talks about it, like, going up and literally, hey, I want to do 300. Well, how do you want to do it? I want to literally, here's Frank Miller's 300. I want to do it like this. Exactly. Like, there's no changing it. Like, that's how you do it. Watchmen. I want to do it like Alan Moore wrote it. Exactly like this. Batman, Superman. Yeah, obviously it kind of changed a little bit, but he's like, I still wanted to do it like Frank Miller. Like, those are the types of people that you need to hire or, you know, reflect on as these movies are coming back out. Yeah. Like, there's got to be somebody out there that can write a better storyline for the upcoming, you know, Fantastic Four or these other movies that have come out. I know when people are like, well, they're building for this whole universe. Stop. Maybe they need to do what James Gunn did and say, hey, listen, we're just going to do three movies. And yeah, it's going to somehow, people are going to spread out to the other worlds, but I'm still going to, keep it concise. Right.
Yeah.
And Fantastic Four can do that.
And the truth is too, like, hey, that comment of like, we're building towards something. You may not be, I'm going to be honest, you may not get there because you're pissing off your fan base. And that's the thing that blows my mind is every time then they turn around and they're like stunned. Oh, the trolls. Oh, they didn't like it. Because stop inputting stuff that you don't need to in source material that's already been. Dude, Fantastic Four has existed for a very long time without whoever this writer and this director are. They didn't need their help. They don't need their help. Fantastic Four will be okay with or without you. Yeah. So just write the book, like, or write the movie, man. I'm not against this whole, like, I don't think it's a good idea, the female casting. I don't understand it. If the writer, of course, who am I? I'm nobody. If the writer was like, well, this is where I'm going with it, and this is why it makes sense to me, I'm like, okay, maybe. And maybe we'll know. Maybe when the movie comes out, it will make sense why they chose that character. So I am reserving that as, like, I'm going to go into it with an open mind. But I can tell you, everyone's already pissed. It wasn't a good idea. I can see where this is going. It's only gone this way every time.
Yeah.
Every time. You're surprised every time that the fans are this way. They showed you with Star Wars. They showed you with Marvel. They showed you with DC how the fans are. Stop messing with it, man. Stop messing with their stuff.
Like, when was the last time? Think about this, you know, as I'm saying this, and I'm going to kind of think about this. When was the last time Marvel announced the casting and you were like, yo, that's going to be awesome? Whether it be show or movie. Like, when was the last time you're like,
I wasn't upset with the Fantastic Four casting. I know there's some people, Pedro Pascal, like, I'm not upset with that at all.
Are you not upset because he's a good actor?
Yes.
You know, because there's a lot of people that are like, I think he's going to do well, but I think he's a little older. So it's like, it's a little odd. Like,
how I wanted John Krasinski. I did want John Krasinski. Yeah.
I mean, everybody wanted him after, you know, Doctor Strange.
That's a good question. Who recently got casted that I'm like, yes. I am happy. I'm very happy with the Johnny Storm casting. Since we're talking about Fantastic Four. Man, I don't know. And I'm not saying I don't know because there isn't any. I just can't think of anything right now.
I mean, but even if it was like, I'm even talking maybe you go 8 years back and like when this casting came out before the movie, you were like, oh, this is going to be really cool. Like, I'm excited for this.
It's hard. Honestly, I think I've learned my lesson as well, though, from like the Heath Ledger casting as Joker to not judge it. And so sometimes, honestly, when they pull like a Robert Pattinson for Batman, I was like, really? The Twilight guy? Yeah. You know, but then I check myself and I'm like, I thought that about Heath Ledger and he was awesome. And Chris Evans, I thought that too. Like, well, you're picking not another teen movie. You're picking Johnny Storm as Captain America. That was a badass casting. I try not to. I think I'm pretty open about that, man. Like, I think I can honestly say I'm pretty open about castings. It's only thing that irritates me is things like the swaps for no reason. Like, a pointless race swap or a pointless gender swap to check a box. Like, that is an annoyance right out the gate.
Yeah. I feel like in the past, you know, call it, YouTube streaming error podcast, internet, you know, everybody wants to say something negative. I feel like there's a lot more negatives and there are a lot more positives.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot more negativity. It's because, honestly, that's just the world in general. Now this thing called the internet has given assholes like ourselves and everyone else an opportunity to voice their opinion to a larger crew. And everyone thinks their opinion matters and they don't. I'm sorry to say, even ours probably don't really matter, but like, yeah, there is a lot more negativity than positivity, but I like to think that we may be a little negative, but we're analytical about it. Like, we're critical, critical thinkers about it. Like, hey, look, like, I'm open to this. I don't think it's the right move, but I'm open to it. So,
All right. Let's end the show with something positive.
Yeah.
So this one literally came out of left field.
I had no idea.
I like how this literally got announced. Today is April the 4th, coming out on May the 4th. So Star Wars Tales of the Jedi series sequel announced with dramatic first trailer. So LucasArts announced a new Star Wars series with its first trailer. If you have not checked it out. So instead of Tales of the Jedi, we have Tales of the Empire. So follow up from last year's or 2022's series. Going to be debuting all six episodes on Disney Plus next month. So we have a new series, Synapsis Journey, and the fearsome galactic empire through the eyes of two warriors into divergent paths set during different eras. After losing everything, young Morgan Elsbeth navigates the expanding imperial world path of violence, while former Jedi Barriss Offee does what she must do to survive a quickly changing galaxy. The choices they will make will define their destinies. So we have returning people, such as obviously Morgan Elsbeth is voiced, same actress who was in The Mandalorian and Ahsoka Tano. So you have Diane Lee Insanio, the person who played Barriss Offee from the Clone Wars. She's back. Character who was in the Obi-Wan series will be backing, voiced by the fourth sister. And then you have the two most important people. You have Lars Mikkelsen as Thrawn, Jason Isaacs as the Grand Inquisitor. So big stuff going on. Let me tell you, after watching, and we've talked about this, after watching the Acolytes trailer, and I was like, I'm not really too excited for Star Wars. This dropping today, I am super excited for this series, and I will probably rewatch this series many times over because, again, it's 6 episodes, just like the last one. Mm-hmm. And I like how they did this, and I've been talking about this for so long. Like, this is what we need. We need like an imperial show. We need something dark, and this is going
to
be
Tales of the Sith. To be honest, that's what they should have called it.
Well, listen, you're already pushing yourself. Let's just talk about this. So we have Tales of the Jedi, which came out in 2022. Mm-hmm. We got Tales of the Empire this year. Maybe next year, maybe the year after that, you know, we can have a, you know, Tales of the Sith.
And, maybe.
You know, like what's out in the world of whether it's that High Republic era or what gets announced this year. But I like this because if you look at it with the last series, right, you look at it where you had Dooku and you had Ahsoka. You could almost say that it was like a rise and fall. You had the fall of Dooku. You had the rise of Ahsoka. In this series, you could switch rise and fall with either. You have the rise of Morgan Elsbeth because, you know, in the trailer, you see a lot of, you know, she was obviously a, you know, a right. Night Sister, and you have Death, you know, Dathomir that got destroyed. So it's like
her rise fall, to power.
Yeah, either her rise to power or her fall to like being more dark. Mm-hmm. Barriss, obviously, we've seen her in Clone Wars. This is her becoming, her rise to becoming a Inquisitor, or her fall from Jedi to Inquisitor. Yeah. So a lot of cool stuff, a lot of stuff that, you know, there's a lot of Easter eggs in there. You see the first brother that was also in the Tales of the Jedi series with Ahsoka. You see the character Marek, who was literally brought in the Ahsoka show, and everybody thought that was this, you know, that was Barriss, but clearly not. I'm excited, man. You get General Grievous is in there. There's going to be a lot of fun things in these, you know, 3 episodes each for the characters. So I know you just saw the trailer just before, you know, we went recorded. So what are your thoughts on it, man?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, the first Tales of the Jedi was great. But I do love that this is a little bit more concentrated. 6 episodes, and they come out, and it's like, we're telling 2 stories. And I think that's better. Like, it is fun to see every individual episode and you get a little bit more, but like, man, bust it out. Let's do this. Like, I think it's really cool. I love that it's Morgan Elsbeth and Barriss Offee. And I also love the fact that my first instinct was like, Morgan Elsbeth is such... when she shows up in Mandalorian, she's a force. I mean, it seems like people know her, but we don't know her, right? Yeah. Like, no one knows. You've never heard anything about her in any lore, any books, or nothing at this point. And so then even in Ahsoka, she kind of has this mystique about her. Like, well, hey, we should know who she is. So I love that they're beefing up her backstory. I love that we're now seeing, okay, this is who she is. And you could even see, like you said, Easter eggs. You see that city from Mandalorian that she's in, like when Mando shows up and Ahsoka shows up. Mm-hmm. So I love that we're seeing, we're getting some backstory to Morgan Elsbeth. Because, you know, a lot, there was, I know you weren't one of the people who complained about Ahsoka, but there were some complaints and some things, like when all of a sudden Morgan did kind of have like Night Sister powers that had not been really talked about. That was kind of like, where the fuck is this coming from? So now we'll get to see that. I think that's really good and that's strong. And then anything Inquisitors, dude, I love. Like, I want to see more Inquisitors. I want to see, you know, does Barriss end up becoming an Inquisitor? Does she balk at the last minute? Is she one of the Inquisitors who are masked up and she's been there the whole time and we didn't know about? Is she one of the Inquisitors numbered that we, you know, the missing number Inquisitors? Like, hell yeah.
Could we see her in season two? Like, is that the reason why she's being introduced?
Right.
Like, will she fight Ahsoka sometime in between, like in that Rebels era? Like,
yeah,
where they're kind of more teenagers, or yes, will we see her as an adult in live action? So there's right. there's a lot to take in.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time we saw the Inquisitors? Was what, Obi-Wan, right?
And yeah.
Are we getting another Obi-Wan series?
No, they only did the one series. Well, I guess Marek is technically, like, you see him here, so he's considered still an Inquisitor, even though that's post Return of the Jedi, post
you
know, all the Inquisitors that we knew about. But yeah,
I think it looked badass. Like, honestly, like, I didn't even know it came out, and I watched it right before we started this, and I was like, wow, dude, this is awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you even get to see the fourth Inquisitor who was in the Obi-Wan show. So like, there's going to be a lot of turning. Like, there's a lot of the training to become an Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the quotes in the show. There's two quotes in there. It's like the one stormtrooper clone trooper says, "Oh, you're lucky you're not a Jedi anymore." And it's just like, yeah, because if you were, you'd be, you know, kind of you'd be dead, right? So yeah, right. There's the turn on that. And then the ending trailer is like, oh, time to meet your new master. And it's everyone kneeling and it's Darth Vader. Like,
yeah, dude.
Telling you, man, go back and if you have
every time Vader shows up, it's always there's always a feeling, bro. Right? Like, you're like, think about it. Every series we see, there's always Vader showing up. So at this point, we really should be like, whatever, it's Vader. But every time Vader shows up, you're always like, yes.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
Well, yeah, because we got like a toned down version of him. Like, we didn't realize like how badass he was until I feel like Vader's like rise to power, or like that moment when you're like, Vader is the biggest badass, is the Rogue One scene, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was like, you knew that he was important because of, you know, Revenge of the Sith and all the stuff in the original, you know, trilogy. But like that time where you're like, yo, he's an immediate badass, was like, okay, here he is. Yeah. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I could definitely take the Rogue One scene and like just watch that. And then anything that he's done in the Rebels series and now this. So, you know, we may not get him. We may not see that much of action, but we're going to see him at least, you know, that's what he did. Like volume two of Darth Vader, the Inquisitor teams. I'm excited to see how many you will see. Like, cause again, there's the Fallen Order stuff. There's Vader volume two. There's the Obi-Wan series. There's so much that the Inquisitors are pieced in into now this history of the Star Wars universe. And then again, like you said, the Morgan Elsbeth stuff, you're right. Like, she was a character, and you're going to see her on that planet, how she becomes magistrate, like the magistrate of that area or town or whatever. And who she was before is going to build on all the stuff that we don't know and things that we did know. Like, obviously, Dathomir plays a big part. Dathomir plays a big part in the whole, you know, Fallen Order games, like with, can't think of the chick's name. Who's the girl from the Fallen Order games?
Oh, the friend?
Yes.
Man. I can't remember right now either.
All right. But if people have played the games, you know who I'm talking about.
The Night Sister.
Yeah, the Night Sister. Something with an M, maybe?
Meryn.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. See? It was deep down in the mind of...
We're old.
Yeah, it happened. We can't remember everything. But again, coming out May the 4th, all six episodes. I'm excited for that. And speaking of Star Wars stuff, I guess, since, you know, we're right here, I posted it on all our Instagrams. We are dropping our cool exclusive Ahsoka cover from our buddy James Mad Love Comics, a little collab. So it's going live at King Kong this weekend. And then we also have, if you're listening to this early enough, we do have the Whatnot show. We'll be live on Whatnot selling it there, and then whatever copies are left over will probably be on eBay, or you can hit us up on Instagram. So the way this collab worked, I'm telling you, people, you're gonna want this. It is super print run low. Like, last time when we did Dr. Aphra, there was the trade, the virgin, there was the topless, there was the nude. This time around, there is only trade, virgin, 25 of each. So 25 trades, 25 virgin. We're selling them as a set. So you will get your, like, if you want number 7, You're going to get number 7 on the trade. You're going to get number 7 on the Virgin. So we're keeping the numbers together so people like that stuff to sequence. Then you have the foils. You have 5 total foils of the trade, 5 total foils of the Virgin, and then those sexy double medals. Like, I love the medals. And, you know, Zach and I said to Zach, I said, listen, I just got the medals today. I'm like, yo, man, I like this medal. And the medals are the same. Limited to 5 on the trade, limited to 5 on the Virgin. So if you get a chance, you're listening to this early enough, seriously, if you are going to King Kong, I highly recommend picking them up. And if you're not, again, the Whatnot Show, if you can make the Whatnot Show, and then anything that's left over goes up on the gram and also eBay. And, you know, Renata Oak, Brazilian artist, man, he's got a cool style. And I really, you know, James showed me the cover. And I was like, yo, it's Ahsoka, I'm in. But let me tell you, when it came in and I saw it in print, I was like, yo, it's so cool. It was like really nice to look at. So,
yeah.
Again, King Kong this weekend, if you're listening to this early enough, up at the Park Ridge, up in Park Ridge, New Jersey, Marriott. Zach is finally here on the East Coast. I get to finally see him in, God, it's almost been 2 years.
Since Terrificon, right?
Yeah, since Terrificon 2022. And of course, we have our buddy V. Ken Marion, who will be with us. He's got some books. He's got some signings. He's got some printings. Make sure you go ahead and follow his Kickstarter. I know he's got some prints for that, some Final Fantasy stuff, some DC stuff. He'll be doing some sketching, some remarks. I mean, he'll be there all day with us, right next to us. So that's all I got. Zach?
That's it, man. I'm going to hit the road at noon. It's about a 5-hour drive for me.
Awesome.
Heading up that way.
Yeah, so you'll be seeing the team live, the Comic-Con podcast at King Kong this weekend. And, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. You know, we're going to try to do some collab stuff. We're going to try to do some more, you know, meetups, whether it's a show or shop, who knows. But, you know, again, King Kong this weekend, Terrificon in August, and then who knows what's going to be in between that time. So that's it for this episode, and we will catch you next week if you don't see us at King Kong. Yep. Later, everybody.
Later.
Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com, and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.